Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nosey.
This is Onique.
And we've been lacking on the news. We've been lacking on the news. I mean, we covered a little bit of news last week.
We caught up on little things, but it was pretty slow overall just because of the holidays.
It was the holidays. You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, we're back from the holidays. There was some things going on. There's still some things going on. We're talking there's tournaments going on, there's changes going on. We've got a big second half of the show. So just to let the listeners know preemptively, we'll talk more before we go to a commercial, that we're going to have a big second half of the show. So just like last time, stick around.
You'd
And
think it. You think we'd be talking about Murders of Carlisle Manor, but that's actually going to be the following week.
yeah, that's going to be
This week, I
totally
want to
next
kind
week.
of do like a year in review of all the products and sets and whatever of 2023. So we're going to be talking about some of our favorite cards, art, card names, hits, misses, and things like that on the second half. But the first half will be a bit more of a traditional, I guess, first half of the episode.
Yeah, we're not even doing card of the week, but we will cover movers and shakers.
Yeah, we're skipping card of the week just because we're talking about so many different cards in the second half. So it's hard to pick one when there's a lot to pick from in this case. You'll find out what I'm talking about in a moment.
Well, the first thing we want to get off the plate is modern, right? So there's a bit of modern tour that happened. I think you've got footnotes on it.
Yeah, so this is what you heard me kind of mumble to myself in the pre-show. It's called the Legacy European Championship, but the format was modern. So I had to like triple check this to understand, is this a modern tournament or is this a legacy tournament? This happened in Belgium, more specifically Ghent, or Ghent. I'm not so sure how you pronounce the city, but this was a in-person modern event in Belgium. And the so I have the top eight decks here, which modern, like for a while, of course, number one for the longest time was Rakdos Scam, and then that was taken down, and then it was four color Yawgmoth at the same time, but that was also basically heavily weakened when they banned up a beanstalk, up the beanstalk, the beanstalk.
I love
So
modern. I love modern period. I've been
yeah.
facing those guys and a bunch of these RCQs. And I know me, like I got bragging rights, right? I got no say bragging rights. That's what I like to say. I got no say bragging rights. It's funny, it's funny. But I can beat Yawgmoth. I can do the four color Amulet. I can do Hammer Time. But before Fury got banned, I was having a hard time with that Rakdos scam, but I love me some modern.
You said you could take down Yawgmoth, Golgari Yawgmoth, basically, right?
Correct. Correct.
Can you take
Me?
down
Me? Yes.
Teemo Rhinos?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, apparently no one else could either. That's the number one deck that won in this championship. First place went to Steven Minnelli with Teemo Rhinos. Second place, Golgari Yawgmoth. Third and going down the list is Mono Green Tron. Then another Golgari Yawgmoth. Living End, Is It Breach, another Golgari Yawgmoth, and then in eighth place, another Teemo Rhinos. 10th was an Amulet Titan as far as unique decks. 17th was a Living End. Oh, wait, that's also fifth place. 18th was an Is It Murktide. 19th was a Mono Black Coffers. 23rd place was Rakdos Grief, which I guess you really can't call it scam anymore since half the scam targets are gone.
Right, Fury's being taken out and scam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
25th is Grixis Death Shadow. I mean, of course, there's like a bunch of more deck lists. You mentioned Hammer Time, but I'm trying to find where Hammer Time even showed up in this event. 26th is Domain Zoo,
Well,
which is kind of interesting.
not a lot of people are doing Hammer Time because it was number two for a while.
Oh, here it is. 32nd place, Hammer Time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Not a lot of people are doing Hammer Time. 32nd place. That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible. It was number two. So you would think, let's ban Fury Rakdos scam is done. Here comes Hammer Time's time. Right? No pun intended.
Hammer Time, 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 time.
You can't touch this. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
But no, what is it? Murktide or something's number two? Or number one?
Well, I mean, top two decks is Team of Rhinos and Golgari Yawgmoth.
Rhinos, then Yawgmoth. Gotcha. Well, I can beat that Yawgmoth, but I can't touch the Rhinos. I'll admit it. I'll admit it.
I don't see a single white deck in the top 25 of this particular event.
Yeah, it's not really modern heavy.
I mean, well, Hammer Time is white based.
It might be mono white,
isn't it?
It is. It is, but when you say 32nd place, it really is. When you think of a white deck, you're going to think Hammer Time when you're thinking modern.
Yeah.
You know?
Domain Zoo is also a bit of white in there because I see two copies of Reprieve, four Leyline Binding.
Yeah. Domain anything is really good.
Yeah. But yeah, still, I just find this interesting because this happened a couple days ago. The event happened, what day is this? Last Saturday.
Nice.
So, okay. Yeah, literally like 4 days ago at the time of this recording.
Nice.
So, yeah, congratulations to everyone who participated and, of course, to everyone who got top eight. I don't know if this qualifies. Let me click on prizes, actually. I'm also sure if this qualifies anyone for Worlds or something because it is a major tournament. Prize wall. I don't look at prize wall. I think it's just a cash prize. Oh no, it is. Do they get top first and second? Do get world championship entry?
World championship entry. That's cute.
So yeah, you win.
Yeah, you win an RCQ, then you go to the nationals, and then when you nationals, you get a ticket to worlds.
Yeah, this is regional championship. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, regional championship. Yeah, congratulations, guys. I want to be out there with you guys. Before we go over to another set of news.
Before you go into that set.
Yeah.
There is a 99% chance I'm going to be at MagicCon Amsterdam.
What? So you're not going to MagicCon Chicago?
No, Chicago's in February, so probably literally 2-3 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. I never really had the intent of going. Okay. Of course, I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I just came back from my birthday vacation to Hawaii
congratulations.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. So it was either birthday Hawaii or Chicago. And yeah. Chicago in February.
Forget Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Chicago, but I know it's miserable that time of year just because of the weather or wind, cold and wind and whatever.
Yeah.
Hawaii is not much nicer. But Netherlands, like I'm Dutch. I was born in Netherlands. I only lived there until I was 6 months old and I moved to Los Angeles.
Nice.
But I've been back and forth to the country several times. I can understand a good portion of Dutch. I can't really speak it, but I feel like if I'm there enough, I'll get it. But my wife and I are planning a trip to Europe. Right now, the plan is like literally we're just doing country hopping. It's Portugal for like 2 days, Denmark for 2 days. And Netherlands for 2 days,
so,
which is a lot, but that's the plan right now. This is at the end of June, so we still got 5 months out before we plan anything.
So do you speak it in Dutch?
That's German. Oh. So no.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd try
Netherlands, but all no, right, well. I don't speak. I can understand a good portion of it. And if I do go to MagicCon, it's probably literally going to be for like 4 hours, maybe 6 hours at most. The hope is that I'm going to bring my wife in with me. She can kind of take a look at my world within my country, quote unquote. Walk around, do some things, get some merch. And then leave, and then we just go have a quote unquote regular European vacation.
Heck yeah, bro! You deserve it.
So yeah, that's exciting. That's like the country I was born in, and Magic, which is I've been playing it for more than half my life.
Well, that not only are you excited, I'm excited for you. Are you going to be able to still do the podcast, or you going to take a break, or?
I mean, for that week or two, probably not.
So you're gonna take a break, okay?
Yeah.
That's what's up. We'll just let the listeners know right now. There's going to be a break coming up for Onique.
In June, though, we got time.
there's going to be a segment. I'll just jump over to movers and shakers. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'll cover that real quick. All right. Our next segment is powered by mtgstocks.com. You can follow along every week just simply by clicking on weekly winners. This week.
Side note, yeah. The guy who, I guess, runs mtgstocks.com, mm-hmm. Arjen.
Yeah.
That's a very Dutch name. I'm 99% sure he's Dutch, and I think he's like an L2 judge or maybe even L3 or something. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I didn't know that, no.
But I do see him active on one of the Facebook judge groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find it interesting how there's a bit of a connection. Maybe I'll even find him see him there, assuming he lives in the Netherlands. I don't know.
Well,
that's all. Just a little tidbit.
Starting us off this week with some cheap pickups like we always do. Gisalth, Sun's Avatar. I don't know if I'm mispronouncing that name. I probably am.
Gishoth, I assume.
Gisalth. Yeah, there you go. Gisalth.
Or Gishoth.
Something. Sun's Avatar. $6.14. It's moving down.
This was 30 at some point.
Yeah, looking at this graph, and it's just another piece of proof why we don't buy cards at a local game store the first week the card comes out. You know, like you said, it was $30, and it's at $6.14 right now.
Yeah.
Again, it's proof of why we don't do this, you know. And I try telling customers a lot, man. Yeah, we're gonna let that sit for a while, man.
Why you as a
local game store,
at a store yeah. don't buy from customers?
Well, for the first week when the card's printed.
Okay. I misunderstood. I thought
misunderstood.
You were telling people
yeah.
not to buy from an LGS or something. And I'm like,
No. Support your local game store.
Exactly.
Yes.
Support 100%.
Yeah. Support your local game store. I work at a local game store. I work at North Valley Games, one of our sponsors. And this card right here, like you said, was $30. And now it's $6.14. It's still moving down. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the graph. The graph looks like it's going down, like the battery's draining, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it'll probably reach, what, $4 real soon. And at any rate, I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, this is living proof of why you don't want to buy cards or sell cards the first week until after the card's printed for a while. You know, I mean, here I'm dealing with a local game store that's a premium store, Onik, and we get to have preview week and then pre-release week and then pre-release week. And then it's release week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like some people only want to go to the pre-release because that's what you're used to for 30 some odd years. And then you got the release. It's like, oh, it's released. Then people that didn't know what the pre-release come out. So, I mean, it's just more ways for the store to make money too. Local game store, yes, support your local game store. But it's not the only cheap pickup though. Another one. Cloudstone Curio Retro Frame. $9.69. This one's stabilizing right where it's at. But again, it's going to be a reprint, but it's with a retro frame. Now, remember, this card was only made, you know, I'm talking about the Cloudstone here, the Cloudstone Curio. It was only made in a modern frame. So having a retro frame is amazing. But, you know, it going down, it too was up to what? $70? $72.
I don't know if the card was so. This is probably because, like, if you look at this little graph, you see the expansion symbol of Ravnica Remastered.
Yeah.
So anything before that was all pre-sale, as you were saying, like the pre-releases and whatever.
Where you don't want to sell the card to an LGS until a week later, right?
Yeah. So $75 was probably like a pre-sale price, and then of course dipped up dramatically. Then the set release, and it probably maybe even. When the day of the release was around $18, but still yeah. It's half of that price. So it's like you said, it's stabilizing a bit, but this is also just the retro. So the regular version was probably a bit cheaper.
Here's one. I like this one because of the copy ability, like twin cash. And I'm a blue player, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's no secret. But it's the last cheap pickup this week. Archmage Emeritus. I'm saying that one right. It's a card from Strixhaven. $4.55. It's moving up. It's moving right back up to where it was originally. So back in August of 23 last year. It was roughly, what, $4.50. It went down to $3-ish. And then it's back up. So it's moving up again.
But at some point, they're probably going to make some sort of commander deck that's like very heavily spells based. Yeah. And this will skyrocket to like $20-25. That's my guess. If they have a commander deck that's like incentivizes you to cast sorcerers and instants. Because that's what this card focuses on.
But what everybody and their mother tunes into the podcast for. Number three this week, Magus of the Moon, $14.13. It's number three this week, up 40%. It's a card from Future Sight. I think they reprint it in Time Spiral Remastered.
To me, those are the same set. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't active, but like Future Sight and Time Spiral Remastered, like I...
Okay, I'll take you for a little education trip. Sure. Real quick, right? Back when they printed Future Sight, they had two other sites. They had two other sets. Future Sight was one of them that showed you cards of the future.
Yeah. I know it was like a past, present, future sort of block.
Correct.
But I don't know where Time Spiral Remastered fits into that block or whatever.
Well, Future Sight was part of the name, so like Suspend. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about Suspend later, right?
Yeah.
Suspend was, I think, in this set a lot, man. You had the Gilded Lotus. You know, you had a lot of things that had Suspend that are in the set. Again, Future Sight was just more of a tease. Cards like Ghostfire, you know, it was more or less a tease of cards to come in the future. Some of them had weird borders, which they end up doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some had really, really cool effects, which they end up doing. So to me, a lot of them just haven't been done yet. We're looking at this one right here, Magus of the Moon. It's a creature, human wizard, 2/2, non-basic lands or mountains. I mean, that's like a blood moon right there.
Yeah, literally blood moon on a creature.
Blood moon on a stick, baby. Number two this week is one of my favorites. So I've been playing black, blue, proliferate poison, and standard. Standard with a 3-year lock on it right now. This one, number two, Venerated Rot Priest, $7.09. It's up 50%. I like this guy. It makes me want to splash green sometimes. Just a 1-drop, 1/2. One green, that's all it takes to cast him. Toxic 1. So if it does damage to your opponent, of course, they're going to get a poison counter. And it says right here, right there. Oh, Nick, you see it right there above the flavor text?
Whenever I don't want to look at this card. I really don't like this card.
You don't like this card? Well, no. See, now, cards that are this ignorant, I love. I freaking love them. Whenever a creature you control becomes the target of a spell, target opponent gets a poison counter. Now, I'm telling you, buddy, it makes you want to target it just like old school proliferate poison. You know, this guy right here means business so much that I want to splash green. But that's your only thought on that card, though. It's just so mean you don't like it.
No, I saw that. I think it's a bad card.
You think it's a bad card?
I think it's a bad card.
I'm all ears like a field of corn.
It might be. It took a second for me to get. It might be because when this card was released, everyone was hyping it up because, like, oh my God, toxic decks are so good. And people did like these meme decks where they targeted the crap out of it. And I'm like, well, in response, I'm just going to kill it.
Yeah, because it doesn't.
Of course, you know, the target trigger still goes on a stack, but I'm sitting there with like six poison counters and it just run out of gas. And I'm like, all right,
and that's what it does.
Sideways and win.
And like, that's what it does. Yeah.
These decks never really beat me. But the ones that it did beat, they complained endlessly about this card. So you had two extremes of it. This card is nuts, and this card is overpowered. And I'm like, this card is just like.
I will agree with you. I will agree with you because when you write stuff down with pen and paper, it's like, whoa, this card is bananas, right? And then you play with it, you're like, oh, it's gassing out real quick. I had that same experience. Like I said, if you read between the lines, it almost made me want to splash green. I mean, I know that when you gas out, it's like, oh, you're done. Especially like you said, I'll kill it in response. Yeah, there's six triggers on there. I'll get six poison, but you're not getting to 10, right? So when I do things like play the mirror match, or I'll build a different deck and play against this, I do see the weaknesses. I see the little chain links that I can target, right? Just like what you're saying. Just like what you're saying. So it almost makes me want to splash green.
It's picking
This
up in popularity again because of a standard deck that's coming out. It's literally just Bant Toxic.
is that what it is? Okay, cool. And I heard rumors about Bant Toxic. So I guess we should move on to number one this week with a drum roll. Are you ready for this?
I don't think anyone is.
All right, number one, Nantuko Shrine. It's $4.61, up 249%. What do you think about this, buddy?
Like,
It's
so,
Odyssey. It's Odyssey. I'm looking
yeah, it's
at,
from
right?
Odyssey. It's a
Okay.
rare green card. This is not a, I guess, a more traditional shrine that we've seen lately, to where, like, the ones from Kamigawa, where, like, shrines. Whenever a shrine enters battlefields, create a whatever or do damage.
Oh
This is not, this
yeah.
is an enchantment, but it does not have a shrine subtype or super type rather.
Right, I remember it goes for squirrel
Or
decks.
subtype, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is, I mean, there's a little paragraph or two about the card itself of why it went up, but
Look at that, persistent petitioners. I wouldn't even think of it. Rat colony. Okay.
in there is a little rules change coming up, as we mentioned before. We talked about suspend. Just Dunks, who works.
Who?
Yeah, let me say it again. Jess Dunks, who works for Wizards of the Coast. He might be, I don't know if he's a rules guy or a programming guy, but suspend has had very narrow little cases that where it just didn't work the way it should have.
Okay.
Well, can you, I don't know if you can hear, just playing behind me or not. Okay, it's passed. So on Twitter, he talked about why it kind of broke the game and why there's a rule change coming up, but it's very, very simple. To sum it up real quick, suspend, after you remove the time counters, you cast a spell, right? There are some times where you can't cast a spell. There are certain situations to where, something gets suspended and with time counters on it. Not like you're casting a creature with suspend, but like in case it's a counter spell, I'm going to counter your spell. You say, well, in response, you're going to cast suspend on it or whatever. You exile with time counters, right? And then
So,
after like 3 turns, the time counters go away, and then I cast it.
yeah, because it's a trigger, it would have counters on it with a trigger, right?
Right. But 3 turns later, when I cast this counter spell, what am I countering? Nothing's there anymore. One
Okay.
example that came up in what Jess said is that, like, let's say there's only one creature on the battlefield, there's just a 2/2, but you're casting. Or from through suspend, you're casting a card that says destroy target creature with power 4 or greater.
It would target yours.
Right, but does this power 4 or greater?
If it's not, it wouldn't be a legal target.
Right. But technically, what the current rule setup is that since there is no legal target for it, it kind of rewinds to it, since it kind of rewinds. Like, the way suspend works right now is
The
that
game, the game checks itself, is what you're saying.
You have to cast the spell.
Okay.
So there's awkward times to where the rules just don't work because you can't cast a spell if there is no legal targets for it. The rules change is that it gives you the option to cast it. That's literally all it is.
Wait,
So
so it's
you.
still, exiled, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's
So.
going to be exiled whether you cast it or not. You got one chance to cast it. You want to cast it?
Basically,
Okay,
yeah.
I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. Yeah, that's
You
fine.
can edit this part out too, but
Well, that
there's a
rule should have
couple.
been there. That rule should have been there a long time ago.
Yeah, sorry, you can edit this part out, but there's a couple tweets I could read if you want me to read it.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and read the stuff that Jess Dunks tweeted. You can find him on Twitter or X or whatever. Dunkatog, Dunkatog.
Seriously.
Yep. I've seen quite a few people asking about.
It's like a play on Blogatalk.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
I've seen quite a few people asking about the upcoming change to suspend with the release of Mortars at Karlov Manor. So I thought I'd preview some of which you'll see in MKM update bulletin in a Twitter thread. Note that suspend is not in this set. That is just when they are updating the rule. Mm-hmm. In case you haven't seen the release notes, I'll summarize. Previously, you were forced to cast a suspended card when the last counter was removed. Now you may choose not to cast it. Choosing not to cast it will leave the card stranded in exile. There are three main reasons for this change. These are: one, philosophy around player understanding; two, game-breaking rules issue in corner cases; and three, handling suspends digital implementation.
Well, if I can just hold you there, though, that just makes me think of AFR, The Adventures of Forgotten Realms, the D&D set, the original one.
Right.
They had a red-blue combo where you had the one flying pixie. It was a blue creature, 1/3. And you had the one red Ilthalta or whatever her name was. And as long as you had those out in play, you
Delina.
Alina, whatever her name was.
Delina, yeah, Wild Mage, I think, yeah.
Melina Wild Mage, there you go. You know what I'm saying, right? So you had that. It wasn't Jeskai. It was just Izzet. And you had an infinite combo. So they did an errata. They're like, wait. The player can stop rolling when they want. And they didn't really errata it where they stop rolling when they want. It's like, once you can roll 200 dice, and if one of them is an 18 or better, you know one of those 200 dice is going to get 18 or better.
Yeah.
You can, at pretty much that. I mean, come on, man. Wouldn't you think that would be game over at that point anyway?
Well, with Delina, they changed it, which I don't know if they meant for it to be May since the beginning, or they changed it after the fact. But that's not a mechanic. There's no mechanic on her other than just a roll of dice. So they changed it to May instead of like you need to.
Right. But with this, we're talking about an errata of a different nature.
Yeah. So let me, I'll continue reading. There are relatively common cases where players can't be quite sure what it means to be forced to cast a spell. Most of these involve effects that change a spell's cost or add an additional cost to cast a spell. So, for example, if Fling is suspended, are you forced to sacrifice a creature?
Ooh.
If there is a Thalia in play, do you have to pay that extra mana?
Ooh.
If you are floating mana already due to Omnath, what then?
Right.
Most players can't answer those, and even Jess himself isn't immediately able to answer those.
Of course, because you'd be Googling those questions.
Yeah, or asking a good judge, which I believe he is. As we do more and more things to suspend, this situation becomes more and more common. We don't think expecting players to know those deep rules answers is reasonable or fun. Right. As I mentioned, game-breaking rules issues, there are a few, but the easiest to explain are cases where it isn't clear whether or not it's even legal to cast a spell or what happens if you do. This is an example that I mentioned. For example, your Crackling Drake is the only card on the battlefield. And just a reminder, Issica's X4, and X is equal to the instance of sorcerers in your graveyard.
Okay.
You have Blade Banish, which is destroy target creature power 4 or greater, suspended with three other instances in exile or in the graveyard.
Okay.
Blade Banish comes off of suspend. Can you cast it? You start to, but once you do, there's no longer a legal target for it. Mm-hmm. A strict interpretation of the rules backs up the game, but then you have to cast it again, and it becomes a never-ending loop. So literally within the rules of the game is the endless loop.
Yeah, the game really can't continue at that point.
While these situations are pretty rare, cases within the game rules breakdown or something. While these kind of situations are pretty rare, cases where the game breaks,
right?
Cases where the game rules break down, is something we always wanted to avoid. And the fact that these will only become more and more common as we make more and more cards to suspend is something we want to avoid. So there's really? Like two more things here, but the easiest fix here is, instead of forcing you to cast the suspend, you may. And if you choose not to, it just stays in exile, and then the opportunity is gone.
So that's an inside look at them telling us they really don't want to make suspend cards anymore.
No, they do. They just want to make it. Oh, yeah. Because I'm sure this probably came up because in a set in the future, maybe like a year, 2, 3 years from now, or a couple, or like maybe just like a commander deck that focuses on suspend. Or actually, I think they just did like a Doctor Who thing.
Timey-wimey, yeah.
Yeah, but they probably, or maybe the situation came up because of Doctor Who. But they want, to me, it sounds like they like suspend. It makes sense up until you get those really weird cases to where, yo, this doesn't make sense. How is this supposed to happen? Why do I have to cast it? Why can't I just say no thanks?
This is where I'll turn to the listeners. Tell us what you guys think. Head on over to Facebook and then type in The Cryptic Commander. You'll see our Facebook group. I guess I should have said click on groups first. But yeah, tell us what you guys think over the Cryptic Commander Facebook group. And Onique, we're going to take a quick commercial break, bud. When we come back, I'll remind the listeners we've got a big second half. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back. That was our summer commercial. We probably need to change it. Probably need to change that commercial. This is the same commercial we've been having for a couple episodes now.
I honestly haven't listened to it in a while, so I kind of forgot what it was.
We had you in the middle there. I was like, hey, you know, North Valley Games. And I was like,
we need to focus it on North Valley then.
Yeah, now we need to focus more on North Valley because I love North Valley. And don't forget to use that promo code TCC2021. And then that one promo, remember? Free pack. Wasn't it just literally pack? Yeah, it was like free pack. Just order $25 worth of stuff and they'll send you a free pack of that Lost Caverns of Ixalan draft pack. You know, it's like the last time you'll see the word draft. You know, we had that wrong because Ravnica Remastered will be the last time you get a draft pack.
Realize that too. As we opened them up last week with RK Post and Jeff Lobenstein.
That's right. You lost to the winner, the reigning champion on the Cryptic Commander, Jeff Lobenstein. You know, he's one of my favorite artists, buddy. You know that?
I still have the pack here in front of me.
You still got the pack in front of you?
Yeah.
Kind of like a receipt when you spent $400 at Magic the Gathering and you're like, oh, I spent $400 tonight.
Why would I want a receipt? I don't want a reminder.
Why would you want that pack in front of you that you lost the pack battle with Jeff Lobenstein right there?
Because it has a watery grave in it? I don't know.
Because it has a watery grave. So you haven't found a home for that watery grave yet, is what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. All right, well, I'll let you go ahead and take it away here. I'll let you do an intro to it. It's our last half. As I look at my dad, I'm like, hey, look, we're in our last segment right now. But, yeah, he's over here passing out with heat exhaustion. You know, he came from St. Louis, Onique, and he's like, it's 75 degrees outside. Negative 20 back home. I'm like, get the fuck, bro. Come outside and enjoy the sun.
It'll rain pretty soon for here. Thursday is going to rain here, so Friday is probably going to rain over there.
That's what I heard. I heard it's supposed to rain the weekend, like 3 days or something.
And then a couple days after that, too.
Oh, wow. All right, let's get it on. Let you do the intro for the last segment.
So, as I mentioned earlier, 2023, this is kind of a year in review sort of thing. We had lots of products. We had lots of sets and extra little things here and there. I picked out like the five main sets of last year.
Yeah.
Phyrexia All Will Be One.
Hold on.
March of the Machine.
Yeah, yeah. Phyrexia All Will Be One. So P All was A Will Be One, right? What was the next one?
What are you doing?
No, I'm taking notes that you're talking. All Will Be One. Yeah, Phyrexia All Will Be One.
So out of all the sets that came out last year, I highlighted five of the main products that came out, which is Phyrexia All Will Be One, March of the Machine, Lord of the Rings, Tales of Winterearth, Wilds of Eldraine, and Lost Caverns of Ixalan. Out of all these, I picked a few categories that we would be talking about, like your top three favorite cards of the set, maybe an honorable mention, your favorite art, cards that you were hyped for but ended up not working out, favorite card name, set mechanic, and your overall grade of the set itself. There are other products as well that we'll go over after we kind of talk about these. So first in the year, let's talk about Phyrexia All Will Be One, which released February 10th. Were you, you, I know you played this, you drafted this a bit, but I don't know how, John, I don't know how interested or involved you were with the set or the cars.
I hated it. I passed it up. I didn't want to touch nothing out of it whatsoever. I did do a couple drafts. I ended up pulling the Jace that was Phyrexian, and I guess a few other blue cards that I was really hopeful for, you know. But I think I was wanting the level of Streets of New Capenna, because with Streets of New Capenna you can do things like an offer you can't refuse and stuff like that, right? But with the Phyrexian All Will Be One, it was like, how would I tell people if the set's not for you, just pass it up? I know it's a standard legal set and all, but it's one of those sets that I just passed up, man. So I don't really have favorite cards out of there. I think the Jace one, you know, the Phyrexian Jace would have been my favorite. I think that because it's used in modern as well too, for like the quick mill, you know, and the art. Again, it would probably go to the Jace because he's turning Phyrexian with one of his arms and his eyes are being Phyrexian. And there's still hope for me as a blue player for him to come back to be a human again or a planeswalker, you know. And then the cards that were hyped, you know, the as far as just mentioning the set, you know, I think the oil slick, and I was let down for the fact that they were slick. All
Are you
right,
talking about like
you know,
the card finish, like
yeah, the
the
finish,
frame
yeah, the finish and the frame, I guess I could be saying
or the foiling,
it was,
whatever?
yeah, it was a letdown. It was a total letdown. By the time I get mine in Arizona, they're all Pringles, straight up Pringles, baby. You know, once you
I've
pop, you
never
can't stop.
actually handled any of the oil slick cards because I just didn't care for them.
Yeah.
So I don't think they had a different process of how the cards were printed. They just looked a bit shinier, so I
They
don't.
were, yeah, oil slick, right?
You're right. I mean, that's
Yeah,
just kind of the cute little name they gave it.
sure, yeah.
But I don't know if they actually had like more
I'm
foil
sure.
per foil, if you know what I mean, compared to other cards.
I'm sure your list.
I can't imagine they did because that just makes the cards thicker.
I think your list is going to be more detailed, but the last footnote I have on that one would be, I think I gave it a four, and I'm only giving it a four because of the collector's version. If you
Out of
look,
10?
yeah, 4 out of 10, yeah.
Oh, I gave mine a letter grade, so I'm like, what?
Wait, a letter rate? A letter rate like A, B, C, D, E, F, G?
Yeah.
You said one
Well,
out of 10. On my footnotes, I wrote down 1 out of 10.
I never actually said any grading system,
Oh, well, then I
to be
just took
fair.
it as, yeah, I took it as 1 to 10. So
Yeah.
on my side of the field, you'll be doing that. I guess on your side, you got letters. But
Sure.
yeah, so I mean, I give it 4. I do like the collector's boxes. The collector's boxes are silver. And from a distance, from a customer's point of view, it's like, ooh, what's that? You know, but I mean, if you look at the other
Entirely.
ones, if you look at the other ones, like Phyrexian, it just looks like a Brothers War box. It says like the weird retro thing where it looks like a revised on the side, but it just Phyrexian All Will Be One. I think it's dull, the set boxes and the draft boxes, which, and moving forward in the future, we don't have to worry about. Now they're all play boosters.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, man? You answered the same questions I did. What do you think?
So for honorable mention, as far as my favorite cards, like I mean, you guys know me. I cheat with this category sometimes. Not with the category, but I cheat with lands. So I just literally put all five of the fast lands in it because now we have those on Arena. And because I have a cube on Arena, or I have a cube that's based on Arena, like these are important to me. So fast lands was my honorable mention. Number three, Thrun, Breaker of Silence. That 5/5, like basically protection from everything but green sort of card. It still reads really well, like it's a really powerful card, and I still have high hopes for it. I'm not giving up on it yet. Number two, I really like Black Sun's Twilight. That's the removal spell, you know, black and X.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Target creature gets minus X, but if X is 5 or more, you can reanimate something equal to X. And it's from, I think it's from. You for only from your graveyard, but still, like it's removal and reanimator. This is like basically a 2 for 1. You put once you have some mana. And then my number one card, another removal, but it's uncommon, ossification. That's a
Yeah,
white. That's the white one. Yeah. Enchant basic land you control, and then you can exile something until that enchantment leaves the battlefield.
Yeah.
Which.
What about the cards that you're hyped for that were let down?
So, where'd my spreadsheet go? The card I was hyped for was Phyrexian Vindicator.
Really?
This was the white 5/5 flying or something.
Okay.
That, I get to describe, folks. I don't know why I closed it. Vindicator. Yeah, so 4 white mana flying. If damage will be dealt to it, prevent that damage. When damage is prevented this way, it deals damage equal to that amount to any other target. Like, that sounds like wild. If you think it has an only 4 mana for a 5/5 flyer, that's already like, you know.
Well, sure. Yeah, it's value to it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I bought this card. I was going to put it on my cube. I was trying to be cute with it because in that same set, we also had Phyrexian Obliterator.
Yeah.
That 5/5 trample for 4 black mana. And I was like, oh, they're twins, you know, quote unquote. But this card, like, never worked out for me at all.
Yeah.
I put it in my cube, and then I think I almost took it out immediately because of just this poor performance on Arena. Like, the times when it happens is cool, but it since it has flying, I mean, it's already hard to block. So you're just doing 5 damage with it, which is not nothing, but it dies to removal, and then it feels like this, if damage is dealt to it, is almost meaningless. Like, are you going to defend with this card? I don't know. It just didn't work out for me in multiple different ways.
Set mechanic.
So, well, I want to also go over favorite art.
Yeah.
For me, it's Phyrexian Arena.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay.
This is the one where Jace tries to, like, rescue Vraska. Mm-hmm. But Vraska's already, like, beyond completed. And Vraska literally kills Jace.
Yeah.
Which is, like, bitter. The card literally says in the flavor text, bittersweet. Like, it's, he thinks he can save her, and then he dies and then becomes completed right afterwards.
So you're saying on Phyrexian Arena, the card artwork is Jace dying?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's Vraska killing Jace.
That's deep, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty dark, Onique. I thought we were friends.
Hey, I like both of them, so.
Vraska and Jace.
Yeah.
I'll miss Jace.
So sure if I like him as a couple.
Yeah.
But I like both of the characters individually.
All right. Now set mechanic.
One more.
Okay.
Oh, I want to give a dishonorable mention. For the art. Bro, what's up with all this freaking teeth in the white cards?
I don't know. Seems pretty cheeky.
It's like, so there's a lot of, like, teeth and bones and flesh and whatever in the white cards, but yeah. some of the amount of teeth that these cards have are disturbing.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Well, you know, the Elish Norn stuff was kind of disturbing too. It reminds me of Pan's Labyrinth, that movie. You know, it's pretty disturbing.
Like, if you look at the card Swooping Lookout, actually, uh-huh. I'm gonna send this to you right now.
Okay.
I don't know if you can look at this. Just,
yeah, I'll look at it. Yeah, sure. Boop, yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah.
Like, zoom in if you can.
I'm zooming in.
This card has like 16,000 teeth.
I'm looking. Hold on. Oh, wow. See, that's what I'm talking about with the whole March the Machine thing, dude. It was like the whole Elish Norn thing was like freaky. Like I said, like a scene out of Pan's Labyrinth or something, or where the guy has eyeballs in his hands, you know, and it's like, that freaks out the little kid in me, man, you know, when you look at some imagery like this.
Here's another one. This is land, Seachrome Coast.
Seachrome Coast. I love Seachrome Coast. Let me see.
Right, it's not a head. This one has like 10,000 teeth. This has like maybe like 10 teeth on it, but they're massive.
10 teeth. Yeah, I see them. Yeah, look at those molars. I guess that's that was
creepy,
the theme.
Bro.
It's probably the theme WotC was like, hey, everything's going to be teeth. You know?
So I mean, because like I guess
I don't
with the whole Phyrex scene, like they, yeah. You know, they rid the flesh of the body.
And
so what's behind
was
the flesh, bone, and I guess teeth too. But bro, relax on the teeth.
I know, man. Look, they said it was the year of the Phyrexia. What can we do? You gave a score from A to Z. What did you give it?
Well, I'm not done yet.
Oh, that's
Don't
right.
cut me off.
I'm not trying to cut you off. It's just go
favorite
ahead.
Card name.
Yeah.
So for me, like, this set had a pretty serious tone to it. There wasn't any, like, I didn't really find any cards that were just kind of cute or clever with the names. I ended up going with Glissa Sun Slayer, just because in the previous versions of the card, it was, or a previous version of the card, it was Glissa Sun Seeker, where she was looking for the sun, and now she's killing the sun, which I found like pretty clever. And then last category, or I guess second to last, set mechanic. This set had a lot of mechanics. If you want to really break it down, it did have poison, it did have toxic, then it had corrupted, which is kind of all similar, not quite. Proliferate, again, similar, but not quite. Completed, which is the planeswalkers. It then had oil counters, it had affinity, it had four Mirrodin, which was that equipment that came with like a 2/2 creature, I think it was. And then he had lands that had that sphere type on it that really just mattered to those, which is not really much of an ability, but it was a thing. Did you have a favorite out of all these things?
Not really. I thought you were screaming for Mirrodin, or maybe it was other people. You didn't attend that one when I went to Strategicon. You were talking about it on the podcast when you were talking about your LA scene, though. I don't know, man. I was the other one. I wasn't for Mirrodin. I was trying to do the other one. I think Proliferate was still heavy. So I was trying to do, yeah. So it was Proliferate Poison. That's what I was trying to do. I wasn't going with the set mechanics they came out and they were pushing at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I was screaming for Mirrodin, just not where you can hear me.
Yeah, sure.
I still kind of like said it in an elevated voice anytime I cast a card that had four Mirrodin on it, just because that, I think, if I remember right, that was my favorite archetype to play in that in the set. Mm-hmm. For a draft, a red white equipment.
Yeah.
But overall, this drafting a set wasn't all that fun. The art, maybe I don't know if it was just like too serious or something for me. Overall, I didn't really enjoy the set.
I thought the draft was balanced. I thought the draft was balanced as far as like if you wanted to go green white or if you wanted to go just mono blue or
this draft was, I think, one of the fastest it's ever been in like several years.
As far as the speed, like round four, it's over kind of thing.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. I was there. I remember doing it, man. What out of A to Z, what did you give the set?
Well, A through F, like school, but I gave it a D.
You gave it a D.
So I gave
pretty,
it a D.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, which I guess is pretty similar to your 4 out of 10.
Yeah, similar to my 4 out of 10. We're on the same page. March of the Machines.
Now, March of the Machine.
March Machine. So I'll just let you go first.
So our favorite cards, I want to give an honorable mention to Boonbringer Valkyrie. That's basically like a power crept Lyra Dawnbringer or Baneslayer Angel, because that's the one that had the backup one, and whatever you put the counter on also gets Flying First Strike, Vigilance, or whatever the mechanics were. I just had a lot of fun with that. My number three, Ozolith, the Shattered Spire. Again, with a plus and counter theme, but this is basically the hardness scale. It's just a little bit more. Number one and two were very, very close for me. I've mentioned both these cards several times, and I think I mentioned number one last week. But my number two, Fairy Mastermind. And the number one, Chrome Host Sea Shark. I mean, yeah, Chrome Host Sea Shark, yeah. So those are my top cards for the set. Do you have a top card or favorite card or two or three?
Not really, man. I'm going to be honest with you. March the Machine was one that I avoided like the plague. Once really? I knew, yeah, man. Once I knew we were in the year of the Phyrexian, it's like, oh, these sets are not for me. I mean, I said it about the last one, was it Phyrexia All Would Be One, right? And I stuck to my guns, man. It was able to help me save money for other things, right? I think we were talking behind the scenes of everything I was going through, right? And there was repairs on my RV at the time and stuff. But it was just
that's true.
Yeah, remember? So it was like it was necessity over wants, and I knew the fine line, right? But it was just not a set that was for me. I'm not really all about mom, you know, even though it was like with the Phyrexian mother, what was her name? I just said it a minute ago.
Elishnorn,
that's it. And it just wasn't for me. I think I was hyped about Lord of the Rings coming right around the corner, which was a good time to be a content creator, if I remember, because there was just so much going on. We just got done covering All Will Be One. Then we're like hyped about more Phyrexian coming out. And is there going to be the Phyrexian writing, more of that? And, you know, it was a whole lot of hype, man. I think serialized numbers were a big thing too at that time period. And just the whole Lord of the Ring. And then the hype of there's going to be one ring, which we've covered on the podcast. Well,
yeah, but we'll get to Lord of the Rings in a moment.
But you get where I'm going. It was like, okay, I'll save my money in hopes for
this.
Yeah,
you're saving up.
Yeah, I'm saving up, man. You know, I mean, even my mom and dad would tell you that Lord of the Rings was like what a lot of fantasy is based off of anyway. But go ahead. Yeah.
Did you have a favorite art in March of the Machine?
Oh, man. I did when it came to Magic the Gathering Arena. They had Elishnorn with a bunch of Elishnorn looking things around her. So I wasn't sure if it was like the All Will Be One mom thing, you know, or whatever's going on. It's just like when you said with the teeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a whole bunch of that going on with like white and red muscle. So it was like, again, just a scene out of like a horror movie or something. Maybe the arena artwork would be my answer.
I know they had some, like, if they have like kind of those background pictures, just not a, I guess a background or backdrop or something. But I know what you mean. I have like a vague idea, a vague image in my head of what you're talking about, but I can't pinpoint it.
Well, I'll let the listeners know too, as Onik lets everybody know about his MOM experience and his thoughts and opinion on the sets, you know, his three favorite cards, the artwork, the cards that hyped it, let him down, the mechanics and the scale of A through F on his side. Just know that I was passing these two sets up. There's a little more I can talk about the Lord of the Rings. It's going to be funny because when we get to it, it's not much I'm going to talk about it. But when we get to Lord of the Rings, it's like a little bit of funniness. But when I talk about the Eldraine set and Ixalan, which are the last two that came out that year, or what, this year, right? Wait,
hold on. Last year.
I'm so confused. Yeah, last year. When I get to Eldraine and Ixalan, oh, there's some stuff I can definitely say that's juicy. But go ahead, Onik, you got a whole list in front of you.
So for favorite art, I do want to backtrack a little bit for Phyrexian All Will Be One. Phyrexian Arena is still my pick, but I want to give a shout out to Martina Falkova, who is the artist for that one. And for this set, March of the Machine, Storm the Seed Core by Jason Rainville.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that I posted on Facebook on one of the Magic groups that had like 2,000 likes and reactions. I actually showed... I found Jason on Twitter, and I think I shared a screenshot of his art, getting a tons of positive reaction from it. I'm not saying I prompted him, but he had such positive feedback with this piece of art that he made playmats out of it, which is great. This is a beautiful, beautiful piece. This is where they're actually the Mirren forces on Mirrodin or New Phyrexia are escorting Ren, who is basically treeless, to the Worldbreaker to so she could fuse with it and so on. I think it's a fantastic piece. Cards that you were hyped for but ended up not working out. For me, it's very obvious for this one for me. Battles. I did not care for battles.
I like them.
Yeah,
it's going to come to haunt you in the boo-boo when Commander's like the biggest thing around.
Oh, then I just won't play Commander. You know this.
Oh, come on.
Nope.
Quit being a party pooper.
Nope. So battles, like, it's once there was a bit of a learning curve just because of the new card type of like who controls it and how do you defend and what happens if it's destroyed but not damaged. Yep. That part's whatever. It's basically, like, if I play a battle, it almost indirectly kind of gained you life because instead of me attacking you, I'm attacking the battle that you're defending, but I control, which kind of sounds a bit weird. And sometimes the reward, or actually, oftentimes the reward on the backside really wasn't worth it. So for me, the battle really had to be like great up front. And I maybe found that to be true with like one or two cards. And everything and all the other battles, don't care.
Yeah, like
Just
the
I
green,
just didn't like them at all.
the green one's viable.
Yeah, the evasion or whatever of
Yeah,
Zendikar, that's the ramp one. Evasion of Golbakan, that's the one where like you can look at the hand and exile something or cost two more. The one in draft, Invasion of Amonkhet, that was a great card. But that's really it. Everything else is just like duds for me. So there are hard passes. Favorite card name, if you have a name. Which I think I looked at this a lot more than you did for card names.
Go ahead.
Like I said, the previous deck was a bit more like serious. Even though March of Machine was like basically the end game again, like War of the Spark was, it had half the set was focused on Phyrexia, and the other half of the set was focused, well, not focused, but it was like divided focus on all the other sets. And I found that really cool. I really enjoyed the dual legendary creatures, the gold ones, like you had, Kogla and Yadaro. You had Kroxa and Kunoros. You had Rankle and Torbran. Those, the card names are just the two legendary creatures. Thalia and Gitrog Monster. Like, I thought those were really, really cool. And when they previewed them, I was hyped for all of them. Most of them didn't work out, but I was hyped on the card name and not the ability. As far as my number one pick, it's just fun to say Infected Defector. I just thought it was funny. That's it. That's my thing. Infected Defector. Other card names similar to that in the set was Ichor Drinker and Disturbing Conversion. So let's go about set mechanics, and then we'll move on from this set.
No,
We have.
you gotta rate it.
Oh yeah. So set mechanics, then we'll rate it and we'll move on. So this set had battles, obviously, I just mentioned that. Convoke. Incubate, backup, and it's not really a mechanic, but the double-faced cards that if you pay a Phyrexian mana, they turn Phyrexian. You know what I mean? There were commons and uncommon. They were actually all rarities. But on the front side, it was just like a dude from Kaladesh. And on the back side, it was like the corrupted dude from Kaladesh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a mechanic, but I felt like I should include it in there because there was like four or five cards from each color.
I sort of like the incubate tokens, but I just didn't think it was worthy of even writing it down.
So what's your pick then?
That would be my only pick of anything in this set. I mean,
Of your favorite?
yeah, favorite anything, man. Let's go with favorite art. Let's go with favorite
Oh, okay,
token.
yeah. I was like, because you
Let's
didn't
go
really
with
like that,
favorite.
though.
Favorite supporting actor? Yeah, let's go with all of it.
So for me, Convoke, I think, is number one. No, that's a lie. I really like backup. Like backup is just so fun for me. Just to, I mean, it's not, you're not just putting a counter on something else or itself, but it's like me handing you my sword and say, here, play with this for a little bit, and then you go do sword stuff.
Sure.
I like that.
A through F.
This set was my favorite set to draft last year. And even though people has to have a different opinion on how the story itself went, I think the story in the cards were done really well as well. The art direction was very fun. Overall, I gave those a B plus.
Okay. B plus. That's not bad. That's not bad. I told people it's gonna be funny, right? Lord of the Rings, we're finally here, right? We're gonna go through this list right here.
I'll just skip it.
What do you
No, I'm
mean?
just kidding.
Oh
No, I'm just
no,
kidding.
we can because the funny part is my answer to everything is the One Ring. And
So a
I'll go
card that
I'll,
you so the card that you're high
yeah.
for but ended up really bad is the One Ring.
Yeah. Because it's in every
And
modern
that's your
deck. It's my pick for everything. It's in every modern deck. It's in every standard deck. It's let's see here. It was so hyped. It's not even funny.
Well, not standard, but yeah.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying. I mean, it's not standard because it went straight to modern legal. So it's in every modern deck. It's in almost every commander deck. Like I said, almost every commander deck. So, I mean, yeah, you want to say the three favorite cards would be the three different versions of the One Ring.
Oh, whatever. That's
oh,
the
come
same
on.
Card.
I know it's cheating. I know it's cheating, but I told you it's funny. What's the HM honorable mention? The honorable mention would be the original modern frame, the One Ring. And I'll tell you why. Because
oh my god. There was no modern frame
really...
of that card. You're just making stuff up at this point, homie.
No, there is a modern frame, regular version.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is. There's a modern frame, regular version. It goes for more than the extended art, believe it or not.
I don't believe you.
Look it up right now.
I'm looking at all 9 versions of this card.
There you go. Look at all 9 versions. You see the one that's just like the regular version in a modern frame? I didn't say what? Retro frame.
Wait.
I said
okay.
Modern.
Hold on.
Yep.
Maybe you're right then. So,
I am right. I am right.
Shut up.
I know I'm right. So again, every answer is going to be the One Ring, man. The set mechanic? The One Ring. What do you mean, John? Oh, because it's so broken. It's in almost every modern deck. It's in almost every commander deck. It's so broken, dude. It was really, really hyped and let me down was the one of One Ring. I mean, dude, we couldn't wait to talk about it on the podcast, Onique.
Mm-hmm.
Post Malone buys the One Ring from a guy in Canada.
Yeah, I remember the card was pulled, well, it was confirmed to be open when I was in Japan at the time. And I think I messaged you. It was like, hey, it's been opened in Canada somewhere.
You know, the artwork will go again. When I said three favorite earlier, the artwork. I mean, the artwork on the extended one is so beautiful. It's a shame you can get one with every bundle that you purchase, which is about, what, $100. But you're guaranteed the One Ring. Guaranteed the One Ring. Extended art. You get that modern frame one, the one I was talking about a minute ago, is like $109. The extended frame, last time I looked, was $55. But yeah, last thing I can say on the set, scale of 1 to 10, dude. Even with all jokes aside, I'm going to give this one of those rare occurrences where I give it a 10. I'll tell you a fun fact too, Onik. I never once bought a pack. I never could find a chance to afford, what was it, $10 when they first came out or whatever it is, you know? I couldn't justify spending $10 on a random pack of 15 Magic the Gathering cards when I had to juggle dog food and air conditioner and RV getting fixed and
like literally like life essentials.
Yeah, life essentials. Exactly. Yeah, you know, I couldn't justify it at that point in my life. Now I can, but back then I couldn't even justify it. So I'll turn the table over to you because we've only got 2 sets to talk about, and then we're gonna let the listeners go. So what was your thoughts and opinions on Lord of the Ring?
So I put honorable mention for me. It's like I guess for favorite card is a tie between the One Ring and Orcish Bowmasters.
Oh, just why would you tie it between the One Ring?
Just because I felt like that was such an obvious choice.
Well, yeah, it's an obvious choice. They should all be the One Ring.
I that's why I look for other things besides those. To make it a bit more interesting. So my number 3 is Reprieve. Okay. That's like white counterspell, but not counterspell.
That's a reprieve.
Number 2, Elven Chorus. Do you remember this one?
No.
This is the one, it's a green enchantment that I think is like 4 mana. Let me pull it up real quick. Yeah,
that's probably why I don't remember it.
You may look at a top card of your library at any time. You may cast creature spells from the top of your library, and creatures you control have tap, add 1 mana of any color.
Oh, nice. Nice stuff. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a pretty sweet card.
I'm surprised I don't remember that card.
And then my number 1, which is in my cube, and when I played it, catches people off guard all the time, and is hilarious. Stern Scolding.
Okay.
I think it's hilarious when it messes people up. Favorite art? So I've said this before several times. I never cared for Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
I didn't read the books. I didn't watch the movies.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, I know. Like, I've seen scenes of it, but I have no idea Like, how many Lord of the Rings movies are there? I literally do not know.
I don't know. They came out with one called The Hobbit too. So if somebody said My Precious, you wouldn't know what they're talking about.
I mean, I know Gollum says it, or Gollum,
There
not
you go.
Gollum,
Gollum.
but like, I don't really like. I feel like I know just enough of the story just because everyone else talked about it. Like, if
Right.
you had like two or three best friends who talk about their favorite anime, and you don't watch
Yeah,
anime, you
Powerpuff
probably
Girls or
know what the
something.
anime is about just because they won't shut up
Sure.
about it. That's
Sure.
how I was with Lord of the Rings, the movie, the books, and now the cards.
Okay.
So my favorite art was just based on what I thought was the prettiest. So I went with Goldberry, River Daughter. And if you look at the card, you'll understand why I picked that. Moving on. Cards that you were hyped for but ended up really bad.
The One Ring, right? The One Ring.
Again, there's no more of the One Ring in anywhere here. But
You're letting me
when
down over here.
I think of Lord of the Rings, like the first character that comes to mind, like when I say Lord of the Rings, what's the first character you think of?
It would be the king.
The king? Who's the king? I don't know.
The main story, what's his name? Oh, you're putting me on the spot, man.
Well, the first name you can think of. You can't if you
Well,
can't
the
think
first
of it.
thing, the first thing name I could think of is, oh, give me a minute. Well, the first name I could think of would be between Bilbo Baggins and Legolas.
Okay,
But
so fair.
I
Maybe
think
you're because you're more enfranchised
Aragorn,
for Gandalf.
Aragorn. Well, Gandalf is like one of my
Yeah,
favorites.
Gandalf.
Gandalf,
That's
yeah.
the answer I was going for.
That's the answer you're going for. Well, the king's name was Aragorn, I think.
I'll just nod and say, okay, sure.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So for me, when the set was being previewed and when it was just even announced to me, I'm like, oh great, Gandalf is gonna like win modern tournaments in this and that, and you're gonna have a
Yeah.
fight against Gandalf the Commander, and Gandalf is
Gandalf the
taking over
Grey.
Magic the Gathering, and Gandalf and Gandalf and Gandalf.
Gandalf the White. Gandalf the Grey.
So there are four
Four.
Gandalf cards in Lord of the Rings set. Gandalf, Friend of the Shire,
Okay.
Gandalf the Grey, Gandalf the
Yeah.
White, which is what you
Yeah.
mentioned, and Gandalf White Rider. Four
Oh, nice. Okay.
cards.
Okay. With Gandalf on them.
Gandalf, the legendary creature Gandalf, not just on the card, but
Oh.
like it features the like he is a character.
So all four of them are legendary creatures?
All former legendary creatures.
Wow.
And how many of them actually see any kind of competitive play?
None of them.
Exactly. This dude, I'm not like dissing the guy, but like he had four chances for a playable card and struck out four times.
Yeah.
The only one that's really worth anything is Gandalf the White,
Okay.
because it looks like it'd be a pretty interesting build around for a commander deck.
Okay.
Like, I understand Gandalf, like this one Gandalf is uncommon. That's probably not going to be a staple of any deck, but that uncommon is worth 3 cents. Gandalf the Grey, 41 cents. Gandalf White Rider, $1.58. Like, this is kind of like almost the face of the franchise, and it's just no one plays it. And I thought that was a miss. I'm not expecting it to be like the One Ring level, but at least show up a bit more than show up a bit more here and there, maybe like in fringe playable decks, but to me, it didn't even get that close. And favorite card name for me, again, like a lot of these words are just very specific to Lord of the Rings. Is the world that they're on? It's called Middle Earth, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm not even so sure. So there's a lot of like references directly to Middle Earth, and isn't that like, I don't know, that's just above my head. So the only name that really stuck out to me as being kind of fun is Fear, Fire, Foes.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting name.
That's cool.
Set mechanic. There's food, amass orcs, the ring tempts you, and then in the same kind of vein, it had the ring bearer. Like if you had a creature that was a ring bearer, something happened, and then it
Yeah,
did
yeah,
have like
yeah.
a legendary theme to it.
Yeah.
I just heard good things about the ring temp suit in limited, that it was like a pretty like strong but not oppressive mechanic.
Yeah.
So that'll be my choice. I still have no idea how it works, and I don't care.
And what everybody wants to know, would you give it A to F?
For the 20th time, like, this set was not for me. I didn't draft it once. I bought one collector pack because I was going to try to put a make a meme out of it where I put my wedding ring inside the pack to pretend I opened the one ring. But in doing so, I ripped the pack and it was just wasted. So that was just, you know, trash. But the set was just not for me. It's an F. Just didn't care.
An F. That's the lowest grade. That's the lowest grade. Well, there's two more sets we can cover, though. Wilds Next of Eldraine. Up. Yeah, Wilds of Eldraine. So what, I'm supposed to pick three favorite cards, period, out of the set?
Up to three. I mean, you can pick more if you'd like, because I have honorable mentions.
Well, I've got a lot of them, man. So the Wicked Sewer Witch, right? I love the Wicked Sewer Witch. And I love Mono Black Rats when it comes to the set.
Oh, well, that's right.
Yeah, Wilds of Eldraine was actually a fun set for me to draft. And I've went on record to make a video with you, Onik, where I'd scared your britches off. Remember that?
God, I don't want to, but yes.
Yeah, you don't want to remember that, but you remember that. Yeah, I took you into that draft room with me, and I
dragged me into it.
I dragged you into it, yeah. And I said, I'm going to force the black rats in this draft. Watch me. And you're like, oh, this is a disaster waiting to happen. Oh, and yeah. During the whole drafting process, you're like, why are you doing this? And look, I played a game in front of you. That wasn't scripted, where I was just supposed to stop, right? But I played a game in front of you. I beat that guy's butt so quick. And then I went on to win a bunch of other games. I think I only lost one match that whole night. So it's definitely profitable for me when I did that. I kept doing that over and over and over. So three favorite cards. There's so many of them. Sewer Witch, you know, like I said just a minute ago, Twisted Sewer Witch. I like Rat Out. It's just one black instant, -1/-1. It'll kill a creature. And best case scenario, if it doesn't, it creates a 1/1 rat on my side. Now, notice the rats in standard at this time period can't block. That's not a nod to the original rats when they first came out. They can block. But nowadays, they don't want rats blocking, I guess. I don't know what it is. Or maybe just from Eldraine, right?
No, this was a design choice, not just, I guess, against rats, but just because tokens in general
shouldn't be able to block.
No, they just, it felt like they want to kind of give like a half of a card.
That's crazy.
Where you can't just use those chump blockers every single time.
Yeah.
They wanted you to be a little bit more aggressive with the tokens that you're getting.
I like the Lord Skitter's Butcher. And that's actually one of my favorite cards from the set, man. And I talked about it. It was card of the week 1 point.
Yeah.
You know, you can have the beginning of the game where you just, it comes into play with a 1/1 rat, or I'll sacrifice another rat, scry two, draw a card. That's so important with mono black. Because there's no blue, there's no draw, right? And then the third ability, which was what? All creatures gain menace until the end of turn. Yeah, I'll swing with a bunch of two menace brats that if you kill them, it'll do one damage to you. What's the way you're taking, two or one? Now, honorable mentions, man. You know, again, we've talked about so many cards from the set so many times, especially for that year and for as long as it's been legal. It'll be legal for 2 more years, Onik. Can you believe it? I would say, I thought Candy Grapple. That actually made my favorite list, that Candy Grapple. It was called something candy. What's it called?
Is this for your favorite card?
No, the honorable mention.
Oh, yeah, but you're still in your favorite card category.
Yeah, but I'm moving on to my honorable mention. So those are my favorite cards, right?
Okay.
And the honorable mention, I think it was called Candy Trail. That's it, Candy Trail.
Oh, yeah, the artifact. So
it's an artifact. It comes in for two or three, but you tap it and sack it, and you can do one of these three things. Create a food token. I can't remember all the choices.
No, that's three bowls of porridge.
Was it three bowls of porridge?
Yeah, Candy Trail is like one mana, ETBs, scry two, and then you can sacrifice it to gain three life and draw a card.
That's it. That's not a bad card. That's not a bad card. That's
it
my
honestly
honorable.
Isn't terrible.
It's not terrible, but that's my honorable mention. As far as artwork, I'm gonna go right back to Tangled Colony again. A guy coming with Mono Black Rat Intentions. If you look at Tangled Colony and you look at the extended artwork card, not the original frame, but the extended artwork card, the artwork's amazing. And I happen to have it in foil, and it pops out more. An honorable mention as far as artwork, if you look at the rat token from that set and foil, the apple, the way the apple just pops out of that painting is just unbelievable, Unique. I swear to goodness. That's why that token card's in my honorable mention as far as art. And my most favorite artwork card in the whole thing would have to be Enchanted Tales Copy Enchantment, to tell you the truth.
Oh, right, the bonus sheet.
Yeah, now there was my waifu. I pulled the waifu Rhystic Study, $60 card, mind you. I pulled that. It's double-sleeved in one of my decks. But I like the Copy Enchantment, Enchanted Tales. Cards that were hyped, that were a letdown for me, would probably be things like Doubling Season. And I'll tell you why, because I drafted a lot of the set. And when I would get to the Doubling Season, plus like things like Aggravated Assault, where I can get an extra attack phase, you know, I noticed cards like Doubling Season and Aggravated Assault were heavy in the game as far as casting cost heavy, right?
Right.
And you're trying to get through aggro style or tempo style to get that game in, right? To get there, you know, to get to the next level or whatnot in a tournament. So those cards were a letdown for me, especially when I was drafting a lot. And as far as the set mechanic, I would have to say the, you know, when you use something like Hopeless Nightmare and you are supposed to pay one black and two other and sacrifice it, and then all that happens is when it goes to the graveyard, you get something like you scry, or they lose two life, you gain two life, something like that. I think the way that the mechanic with Candy Grapple worked was more amazing. As you play this, you can get the negative five, negative five, or negative three, negative three. But if you do sacrifice a token or an enchantment, or what was the other one, Monique, an artifact, you get this bonus. And I think that mechanic is the one, my favorite out of the whole set.
This your favorite mechanic that you don't even know what it's called?
Yeah, I don't even know what it's called. What's it called?
Bargain.
Bargain. That's it. So bargain. Bargain.
I know what you were describing before. You were just running in circles. Just
I'm running in circles.
Not
baby.
saying
yeah.
it. And I'm like, bro, just say the word. But and you the, couldn't.
And the last thing was a scale of 1 to 10. This one came as a 9. You know, it's weird that Lord of the Rings came in as a 10 and Wilds of Eldraine came in as a 9, because doing this list earlier and pre-recording, I was really figuring that Lord of the Rings would have been 9 and Eldraine would have been 10. But when I revisited my paperwork here, I was like, oh man, Lord of the Rings 10, Eldraine 9. It's your turn for Eldraine. Before we go on to our last set, what's your opinions on Eldraine?
So for honorable mention, once again, cheating here, I'm picking all five of the Restless Lands. These are the ones that the creatures that turn into, the lands that turn into creatures. I just think that's like such a good thing for the game in general to have creature lands. I love it. Number three will probably surprise you. And I don't know if you're rubbing off on me. Lord Skitter, Sewer King.
Nice. Yeah.
I picked the rat for number three.
I love
actually
it.
Just recently put this in my cube.
It's a good card, man.
Like I updated my cube to show that I have it, but it's literally in the mail on the way over.
Sure.
But yeah, like I guess I just overlooked it one too many times. But like reading it, it's like a 3-mana 3/3.
Yeah.
When it ETBs, when another rat ETBs, you exile a card, and literally at the beginning of each turn, you just make a token,
which will exile a card another graveyard too.
Which is just sacrifice fodder too. You cannot chump block, but for my cube, like black and red is a sacrifice theme. So this is
pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's better than the whole zombie token approach.
Number two, Werefox Bodyguard. This is the 3-mana 2/2 flash. When the ETBs, exile another creature. That's not a fox, so I guess you can't exile itself. Exile a creature until it leaves the battlefield. It's just one of those arrest effects.
If it did, it would just be an endless loop that would not end the game. The game would end.
Yeah. Like, I guess prisoner effects. I don't know how you want to they have like a name for it, but I just like this card because it's just a clean like ETBs, exile that, and then it also has like, you know, pay two mana, sacrifice it to gain some life, so it's not like a total loss. Can you get a little bit out of it? Number one, Virtue of Loyalty. This is the white enchantment that has the adventure. And for, so the adventure side for two mana, make a 2/2 knight. And then on the other side is a five mana, the end of return, everything is a ++ encounter. That's just such a snowball card. Favorite art. There was a lot to choose from here. This was tough. Because this whole set, after like the seriousness of Phyrexia All Will Be One and March of the Machine, this is a very like fun and whimsical set. And I think you should know this, but for me, I picked Frolicking Familiar, the otter, the flying otter on a broomstick with a giant oversized hat. Such an adorable card. Adorable card. Next category, cards I was hyped for but ended up really bad. And this one solidified that I really do not like these effects. Asinine Antics. Remember that one? That's the blue sorcery. You could cast it for flash if you just pay more mana. Each creature your opponent controls, sorry, for each creature your opponent controls, create a cursed roll token attached to that creature. Enchanted
yeah,
creatures are 1/1.
I don't remember that one, but
it's a mythic that's literally a dollar.
Okay.
I just don't like these polymorph effects. Like to where you're, you know, destroying something, quote unquote, but you're just replacing it with something else that can still be utilized as like a chump blocker, as a sacrifice outlet. Like you're not getting rid of the card, it's still there. It's significantly worse, but it's not gone. And this is like, I don't think these cards could really ever be good for me. So that was for me the worst card in the set. Favorite card name. This was also an extremely tough category. I kind of want to give an honorable mention to literally every card that has a cute name for like with food. Like Candy Grapple, Scream Puff, Sugar Rush, Minstrosity. Great. Those are fun as heck. Number one, Tough Cookie.
Tough Cookie.
Yeah, exactly. Because you say it like as if you're a tough guy yourself. A Tough Cookie. Like it's just fun, and the card was great in draft two. Set mechanic, you mentioned bargain. There was food, obviously. Adventures was a big thing. Roll tokens was a big thing that kind of didn't really work out a whole lot. And then celebration, which was also, it also did work out too. Like I enjoy drafting this set. I think adventure, it's not a new mechanic. We've had this before, but it's just so clean and plays so well.
Thrown LL Drain. By the way, my dad found a bunch of bulk cards of mine. And the original adventure cards, I've got a bunch of those.
For me, I give the set a B. There's a solid B. I just really like this set. So I guess you could almost call it like an 8 out of 10.
Which is not bad. I mean, it's a B, you know, it's much better than a D or an F.
Oh, yeah. But I still have March of the Machine just a hair over, just because March of the Machine was my favorite set of the draft.
Now we'll do something different. We'll let you start with Ixalan first. Go ahead with Ixalan. What's your thoughts and opinions of Ixalan? Yeah.
You can already guess, honorable mention, Restless Lands, especially since it completed the cycle of the creature lands. That's, I guess, my 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th place. Number three, I mean, this set's still very fresh in the memory, so I feel like I could still hold this pack in my hand and like look at these cards. Number three, Sanguine Evangelist. What, I don't like saying that word. This is that 2/1 with Battlecry, that when it enters the battlefield or dies, you make a 1/1 black bat. Fantastic card. Number two, Bone Horde Dracosaur. This is the card that you want to open up in your drafts. 5/5 flying first strike during your upkeep, you basically win the game. Like, you draw two cards and you get a treasure and you get a creature. Like, it can't get any crazier than that. Number one, Tishana's Tidebinder. You know I've mentioned this card several times before. It's just a fun way. It's just a fun counterspell of sorts, like a stifle that permanently shuts something off. The other day when I was doing a cube, I stifled a Nissa Who Shakes the World.
Oh,
And
nice.
they were like ready to ultimate. They needed another plus one, which they did plus one to make their creature 3/3 land. And I cast Tidebinder and I countered that ability. And then I entirely shut off Nissa. Nissa was had no abilities anymore. I
Nice,
loved it.
nice, nice.
Favorite art. Resplendent Angel, but the alternate art. This is the piece what that was made from. Let me go to the Jorge Gutierrez Garcia. It's, I don't know. I just really, really, really love this piece. Like, you have to look it up to like to it's hard to describe. Like, it's green and red wings with a giant headpiece and armor, and the angel's holding a body. I don't know if it's like worship, not worshiping it, but like, I don't know how to describe it, but I think it's just a gorgeous piece. Hold on, edit this part out.
Okay.
Oops, wrong. Lost. So, along with this set, had so I think this is my favorite set for art.
Yeah,
There's
I was gonna go there too when it's my turn, but go ahead, yeah.
this. So, I do want to give a shout out to a video. I apologize if I'm messing up the last name, but the first name's Ovidio Cartagena. Cartagena and Vic Ochoa. I spoke to Vic at MagicCon. When I went a couple months ago, they're talking to me about the set. Like, this set is just gorgeous top down, from the merfolk to the dinosaurs to like
Jurassic
how,
Park and stuff.
well, Jurassic Park too. Like, that's
Yeah.
great too.
Yeah.
But I just think this was just a beautiful, beautiful set.
What'd you give it a set A to F?
Cards that I was hyped for but ended up really bad.
Yeah.
Terrortide. You probably don't even know what this is.
No.
And I forgot it even existed until I came across it.
No.
Two black, so 4-mana sorcery. Fathomless Descent. All creatures get minus X until end of turn, where X is the number of permanent cards in your graveyard.
Yeah.
So the first comparison I wanted to do is like Languish, which is the same cost,
Sure.
same card type, sorcery. All creatures get minus four.
But there's nothing that's a zero. If it's one, it's one.
Yeah, so either you're going to play Languish for 4 mana and get the job done with minus four. Sure, Terrortide can do more, but you need to have more
Eight.
cards in the
Yeah,
graveyard.
right, yeah.
And then at that point, it just basically becomes a Wrath. We kill everything.
Yeah.
So then, would you just play a Wrath? It just fits so awkwardly because of the Fathomless Descent, that if you were exile cards, you also could change the value of it, which you can maybe work into your advantage, but I feel like most of the time it's a disadvantage. I feel like it was just an awkward card. Favorite card name? Get Lost. I mean, come on. Get Lost is
It's been
so fun.
selling. I think it's going down in price, but yeah, it was a good one.
Set mechanic. So there's like 16 versions of Descend, which I really didn't like. There you had Descend 4, you had Descend 8, you had Fathomless Descent, which is basically like infinite, like however many it was. And then it also had like at the beginning of your upkeep, if you have descended, this turn, do a thing. There's so many versions of that one mechanic that it just was awkward. So in a sense, that's like one mechanic or four, however you want to phrase it. Other mechanics, you had discover, you had explore, but at the same time, you also had map tokens, you had craft, and caves. My winner for this one is probably discover, because the randomness is a bit fun. So let me clarify. Discover in limited. Because discover in constructed, you could just build your deck around it, and then you end up having busted decks to where a card gets banned like 6 days after it releases. I'm not talking about that. Discover in limited to where it actually is a surprise what you get, and if you end up flipping into like a combat trick or a counter spell that you don't want to use, you could just put it in your hand. I thought that was nice. And I like how I had a discover number instead of based on the mana value of the card you cast. And then map tokens was also really, really cool, which is because it gave you more artifacts and you could do it later.
In the scale of A to F, you give
A
this
to F, probably also like a B or B plus. I really also enjoyed this set. I think I enjoyed drafting Eldraine more than Ixalan, but I like the cards in Ixalan more than Eldraine. Like, I have Inti as like an honorable mention for another favorite card, because I think that card is just so powerful. I also have a note here, Poison Dart Frog. That's like, I'm also like, I feel like that's almost like an obvious nomination for favorite art, so that's why I didn't pick that as number one.
Yeah.
Like, I think Poison Dart Frog is adorable. But overall, I give it like BB plus.
I'm going to speed this along because it's been 2 hours.
Oh, has it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it has.
I've been rambling. I apologize.
That's okay, bud. So, number one, first and foremost, because I can edit stuff out, right? Let's start with three of my favorites, right? So I'm going to just say that I really liked Gilish, the Sons of Avatar. If I'm saying the name wrong, I apologize.
You messed this up twice now.
Yeah, Gishoth. I messed it up twice. Yeah, Gishoth. I like Gishoth. I like the Pararaptor, because from Jurassic Park, the Raptor was like my favorite out of the whole Jurassic Park thing. And we're talking about Jurassic Park 1 from when I was a kid. You know, the one where it was like, don't let your kids watch this movie. It's rated R. And it's like, through time, there's Jurassic Park 2, Jurassic Park 3. You figure at some point the kid's going to grow up and watch this movie anyway. And mm-hmm. It's a part of culture now. They're redoing it, you know, World of Jurassic Park. At any rate, and I'll talk more about it, I guess, because I do want to get this going quick. We are running out of time. I was hyped about caves. They sort of were let down for me, like you had said.
As a mechanic, it flopped hard.
It flopped, right. But it was in that limited environment. You take these caves and you mix it with like domain or caves, like in a vintage format. Now you're cooking with grease, right? At any rate, the art, I would have to go with the Jeff Goldblum cards, you know, would be my favorite artwork.
Yeah,
again, touching nostalgia on the old original Jurassic Park.
Jeff that Goldblum was a great piece, just because it was, it was like a meme in Magic now.
Yeah, you're thinking about it right now as I'm talking about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
The black symbol on the bottom of some of the cards, if you find one of those, it's like $300, $350 minimum, if not $2,000, $3,000, $6,000. But you got to be really blessed to get that black Jurassic Park symbol, taking up more than half the card, you know? I kind of like that artwork. Again, just so much in the realm of, there was, like you mentioned, Tasha's Tidebender. There's a special guest section, a Jurassic Park section, the original section. I really feel moving forward with the play boosters we've mentioned a couple times on even today's episode, that they're going to have sections. And when I get more information in front of me, and also we've talked about what they're going to do, right? When we get them in the store, I'll have one in my hand and I'll explain more about it, how we can draft with the same pack and this and that. So stay tuned for next week on that. What did I give it? Scale of 1 to 10. I gave it a 10. This is really strange.
Really?
Two,
LCI?
Yeah. Two sets in a whole year of 10. Yeah. I'll tell you why, because the variety, the feels, the draftability, the fact that the commander decks were all varied. You had pirates, you had vampires, you had, of course, dinosaurs. And I knew dinosaurs were going to go crazy, man, when they did the world championships. And that one dude was doing green, red dinos. And I'm like, why not green, red, white? Oh, I see why. You know, but now I know even more why, right? But yeah, but I did see why back there. Overall, man, like I said, 10, dude, I really love the set. And I see the producers are tapping on the glass, telling me I got to wrap it up. But Onik, that was...
I didn't realize I was rambling that long, so I do apologize, because I had, like, a few other, not categories, but things I was going to mention of, like, other set releases, but we can...
Yeah, we'll touch base on those next week. I mean, hey, yeah Onik, we'll have Onik take the blame on this one this week.
Yep, that's me.
But the producers are tapping on the glass. They're giving me that whole thing where they're doing, like... What is that? Scissors across their necks. I don't get it, Onik. They're just telling me to get off here. All right. Well, man, that's going to do it for this week. And is there anything you want to say to listeners before you let them go this week?
Well, if you give me the opportunity to talk, I'll keep them for another 20 minutes. So shut me up now.
All right, fine. If you guys like what you hear, please go on over to patreon.com/thecrypticcommander. Remember that if you do sign up and be a patron, you'll get many bonuses. You'll get the set of dice that are very near and dear. They're special. If you look in through the light, they have a pattern and design. If you look through the sun, you'll have a different pattern and design. And remember, that one guy told me, if you're in a dark lit room and you see a lit room in the distance, it's got another pattern and design. I'm like, really? So I still need to check that one. So if you sign up as a patron, you get the dice, you get backstage access to behind the scenes. Also on top of it, you get to be on a live podcast episode. You know, there's so many benefits. If you can't help out monetary, just by sharing the podcast helps support the podcast. But Onik, we've got a lot of juicy content coming in next week.
Yeah, next week is all about murders at Karloff Manor.
Murders at Karloff Manor, not to mention Clue. Not to mention Clue. You know, that makes me want to go home and watch the movie Clue. But I'm so old. I like nostalgic stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, look forward to that stuff, guys. I know that's going to be really juicy content next week. I've got my dad in town all the way from St. Louis, so when I get off here, it's going to be a wrap for me tonight, and I'll edit in the morning. So, like I say every week, guys, until next time, keep spell slinging.